Yep, we are back. It is Mile High Magazine, Sunday morning again, and I am Murphy Houston. And joining me now is Jeff Smith, the head coach and owner of Dive 5280. We talked to Jeff about a year ago about what his team is all about and what's going on, and he's back to talk about some other topics. But Jeff, first of all, welcome back to Mile High Magazine.
Hey, Murphy, great to be here, and thanks for having me back.
Well, talk about Dive 5280. For those that don't know, I know you're the head coach. Give me a little history of how you got involved and what it is.
Well, given my background, I really love the sport of diving. I was Metropolitan State University's first national champion in any sport. And Dive 5280 came about because I was coaching at a high school, and to create an effective diver just over a three-month period is difficult. So I created what I consider a farm club, which is Dive 5280, to feed into this high school so I could produce the best divers. And, you know, 9 out of the 11 years that I was coaching, I had the best team in the state. So it seemed to have worked.
Yeah.
So springboard diving is an unusual sport for kids, and kids love it. But I have a club, and we compete on both the national and international level.
And you do a good job of it. How many kids are you working with now? How big is the team?
Well, I try and keep it small because the parents pay for my expertise, not an assistant coach's team.
Right.
So I have anywhere from 15 to 18 kids, and that's usually the max.
And it's boys and girls?
Yes, absolutely. Boys and girls.
Yeah, it's a big sporting event, that's for sure. So Jeff and I saw each other over the holidays, and a topic that's been a big topic for a while in the news, and maybe with your kids, is this mental health crisis facing our kids today. And so, Jeff, I thought we'd talk about that with your divers and your kids and share some of your observations and their observations. So what do we got?
Well, one of the things that I want to premise this conversation is I want to be absolutely clear that the material I present today is my opinion and has no reflection on the members of my team, okay?
Okay.
It's what I've gleaned over the many years. I coached 35 years ago, and I saw how kids were then, and then I have been back in the coaching arena for the last 11 years. And in that interim space, I also raised my own kids, so I could see what was happening to kids, and I'm very interested in it. In fact, the only reason that I coach today is because there's so much stuff stacked against kids that I want to help them by providing them a consistent, safe environment that is going to hold them accountable and get them prepared for life.
Well, that's a good thing. Somebody's got to do it, right, Jeff? And if you're helping the parents, it's tough on the parents. It's good to have a coach back you up. So what are we talking about here? What are they facing today? What are you seeing, Coach?
Well, you know, one of the things that we hear about this incredible mental health crisis that is very, very real, that is affecting our kids, is you step back and look what these kids are being fed on a daily basis, and you wonder why they have anxiety. So I'm going to lay out a little scenario for you and ask you what you think afterwards. You know, kids aren't really a huge consumer of news. They're not, you know, watching the news like we are, but they can feel the effects of what's going on in the world. They can see what's going on in this country that, for some reason, families and friends are being torn apart, where people aren't talking to each other for political or financial things. They also want to have rules. They want to understand that, hey, this is what I can do, this is what I cannot do. And yet on their phones, they're able to see where people are out burning down cities and robbing stores and doing all kinds of deviant behavior, and there's no consequences. They're being taught that they live in a vile and evil country that was, you know, founded by slave owners and does evil around the world by through colonialism. They are being raised in a world that they believe their very existence is a scourge on the planet in which we live. Every breath they take is an irreversible assault against Mother Nature. Now, given all of that, how do you feel, Murphy?
Well, yeah, and I'm an old guy, and I'm thinking what you're talking about. I'm not even a kid. Well, my wife thinks I'm a kid, but I'm not a kid. So I
no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I see it in my grandkids now. I saw it in my children, but not like our grandkids are facing now. And I've got grandkids from 5 to 19. And, yeah, I wonder how they make it.
Well, it's crazy. So just, you know, that little scenario that I laid out, it kind of makes you feel bad about yourself. And we're inflicting this on our children on a daily basis, whether it's through the news, through the schools, or through the stuff that they see on their phones. And you wonder why they're messed up.
Yeah, that's a good question to bring about here too, Jeff. What impact do you think cell phones, social media, TikTok, the internet, how much do they play into this mental health crisis our children are facing?
Well, cell phones are a very interesting concept, and they're like the guy who invented dynamite, the Nobel Prize. It's really good when used for good, but it's also very bad when used for evil. And in fact, I had a conversation with my kids that was pretty interesting. I asked them, I said, imagine I was an evil person, and I'm speaking to the entire team. And I said, imagine that I'm an evil person and that I want to kill you. And they looked at me wide-eyed, and they're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I said, would you want to hang out with me? And they said, no, of course. And I said, imagine I was such an evil person that I wanted to kill you, and I wanted you to kill yourself, and I was able to manipulate you, so that's what you wanted to do. And they looked at me like, man, I don't want any part of you, rightfully so.
Right.
And I held up my cell phone, and I said, welcome to TikTok.
Yeah.
And they are all just like, oh, my goodness. And I said, how many of you are on TikTok? And they all said, well, we all are. And the next day I asked them, how many of you are on TikTok now? And all of them said, no, we had deleted the app.
And why was that in one day? Did they delete the app? What did they see? What did their minds see that they didn't see before?
Well, they realized that if you're on TikTok, a couple of things happen. One, it has this evilness to it where you can start to feel even worse about yourself than just the material that I laid out earlier. And then I brought it to their attention, and they were able to see, wow, this really is evil. I don't want any part of it, and so I'm going to delete the app. So I feel like I'm doing my job.
Well, and have they kept that app off their cell phones now?
Yes, they have.
And it's the same team members you talk to when you scared them half to death talking about TikTok.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because they understand that if there's something that bad out there, I don't want any part of it. And once they're presented with the facts about it, they're like, get this away from me.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting how somebody, I coach too. I mean, as a dad coach, baseball, football, basketball. And it's funny, as a parent, you can tell your child who's playing on the team, this is what you need to do. And he goes, yeah, dad, I know what I'm doing, but doesn't do it. But if he talks to his coach, like you, Jeff, sometimes they listen more than they do to their parents, don't they?
Well, and we are in that unique position where we don't have to deal with the kids on a day-to-day basis, you know, making sure that their teeth are brushed and they're eating their vegetables and going to bed on time. We get them for a certain amount of time, and hopefully sometimes we can have a positive impact on how they go through life. And they look at this other authoritative person, and they can say, you know what? I like what the coach is saying, even though it's the same thing the parents are saying.
Right, right.
But they're just saying it in a different way, and it's a different person saying it.
I think that's true. I've seen it happen myself. Hey, we're talking with Jeff Smith. He's the head coach and owner of Dive 5280. His background is in diving, as in swimming pool or high school pools, diving, and he's got his own team now that's doing very well. And, Jeff, you got a great track record yourself as a great diver. I'm kind of curious, how is the confusion over the transgender issue complicated things with your divers and maybe other kids you work with?
Again, these are my opinions, and they're not a reflection on my team. I want to be absolutely clear on that. But one of the things, you know, my background, I also have a degree in behavioral science with an emphasis in psychology. And so I really like to see and am intrigued by how humans interact, especially kids. And there's this unbelievable amount of, quote unquote, transgender in our schools, but there's a term that we don't use anymore, and it's called deviant behavior. And when was the last time you heard deviant behavior used, Murphy?
Yeah, years. Years.
Years, yeah. Because deviant behavior that is, defined by Webster's is some something that is antisocial or goes against societal norms, all right? Now, imagine we have kids that are having schools, you know, in their elementary schools where transgender individuals are reading books to them about their lifestyle. Where in what world is that okay? Now, imagine if you went to your school and you had a heterosexual white female that was going to go in there and read books promoting prostitution. How would that go over?
Well, not well, I would hope.
Yeah, I would hope not too. Yeah. And yet, we see across the country where we're not only allowing but promoting transgenders going into our schools, our elementary schools, and reading these types of books to our kids. How is that okay?
Well, that's, I think, part of the problem you see on TV. The parents are going, oh, whoa, wait a minute. What's going on here? I didn't okay any of this. And school boards, not all, but some, are just pushing the issue right on through.
And it's crazy. And so, you know, I think that, you know, the upside is our parents are starting to wake up and they're understanding this is what's going on.
What about all these changes, Jeff? What do you think? Everything seems to kind of reflect back to the couple of years we are all hunkered down with COVID, and it's changed our lives in a lot of different ways, a couple we're talking about right now. Do we still think that? Does COVID still play a factor in this?
Well, honestly, COVID turned the entire world on its head, and it affected worldwide how we interacted with each other. But that being said, it also might be the savior for us, because what it did, it forced everybody to get on these screens, and it's a dangerous thing to be on these screens on a daily basis. But we had to have Zoom learning for our kids through school, all right?
Right.
And parents were able to overhear what was going on and what they were being taught and how things were being presented to them. And they were able to say, wait a minute, what is going on here? And then you have a rise of, you know, parents saying no to school boards, no to schools that are teaching this stuff to their kids, as well as it forced us all to be together, all right? It forced us to be around our kids and do what was actually required of us as parents,
right?
To instill our own moral code, because at the end of the day, they are our kids, not the school districts.
Well, I agree with that, and I think all parents do. We are the ones that are going to tell our kids what they should have and see for the most part. So, Jeff, let's talk a little bit more about Dive 5280. How do you get involved if I have a child that's trying to be a diver or on the way to being a good diver? How do they get involved with your coaching?
Well, I have a website, Dive, D-I-V-E, 5280, and you can go see what my program's all about, and you can also email me at coachsmith@dive5280.com. But springboard diving is an incredible sport. People really don't know about it here in Colorado because there's only a few clubs that go year-round and compete on the national and international level. But you shoot me an email if your kids have a background in gymnastics, or if you have a trampoline, or if your kid's a particular thrill-seeking individual and they want to go out and do flips and have some fun, go ahead and inquire with me.
And that's strictly springboard, not platform diving.
Well, unfortunately, we only have one set of platforms in the state, and that's at the Air Force Academy. I do train on the 1 meter and the 3 meter. For the uninitiated, that's the low board and the high board. And then whenever I can, I go down to the Air Force Academy for us to dive tower.
Wow, that's a big bit of a challenge. I'd be scared going up on the tower, Jeff, let alone trying to jump off and do something special. That would be me. Well, listen, Jeff Smith, head coach and owner of Dive 5280, appreciate you having on. Keep up your good work with the kids, not just with diving, with maybe help with life, because a coach is a pretty important part. I had a lot of good coaches in my days of playing sports, and I still think about them today. And, Jeff, I think you're going to be one of those.
Well, thank you for the platform today. And, again, go ahead and reach out to me or shoot me an email at coachsmith@dive5280.com. And I look forward to seeing you again soon, Murphy.
Yeah, you too, Jeff. Thanks a lot. And you too, guys. Thank you for listening to Mile High Magazine. We're here every Sunday morning, and we'll talk to you next week.